Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I'm here to mourn, and I'm mourning the life of this young man, my son. Mental illness should not be your ticket to death.
Seven sheriff's deputies and three hospital workers in Virginia have been indicted on murder charges for killing a shackled black man named Ivo Otieno by piling on him and pinning him to the ground for 11 minutes inside a mental health hospital in Virginia. We'll speak with the family attorney, Ben Crump. Then we continue to look back at the U.S. invasion of Iraq 20 years later.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Those were the words of George W. Bush 2 months after the U.S. invasion. 20 years later, Iraq remains a shattered nation. We'll speak with Raif Abdul-Ahad. 20 years ago, he was an architect in Iraq. After the invasion, he began working as a journalist, become one of the most noted reporters in the Middle East. He'll join us today to talk about his new book, A Stranger in Your Own City, Travels in the Middle East Long War. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations warns in a new report 2 billion people, or a quarter of humanity, lack access to safe drinking water, and nearly half the global population has no access to basic sanitation. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres announced the findings Wednesday as the UN Water Conference opened 3 days of meetings, the first such event in nearly half a century.
Water is a human right and the common development denominator to shape a better future. But water is in deep trouble. We are draining humanity's lifeblood through vampiric overconsumption and unsustainable use, and evaporating it through global heating.
In Santiago, Chile, protesters marked World Water Day Wednesday with a march demanding access to safe drinking water and sanitation. Chile is in the grips of a 13-year mega-drought, with more than half the nation's population suffering from severe water scarcity. This is journalist and social activist Lucia Sepúlveda.
We are here representing many who cannot join us, because in their territories they have no water, because they have a miserable quality of life, because the water is being taken away by logging companies, because the water is being used by a single crop plantations.
Here in the United States, more than 2 million people lack running water and basic indoor plumbing, with renters and people of color most likely to be affected. In California, at least 5 people were killed and over 100,000 homes and businesses left without electricity after fierce winter storms brought heavy rain and wind gusts of up to 80 miles an hour. Parts of California's central San Joaquin Valley faced catastrophic flooding, with estimates that up to 100,000 acres of farmland are underwater. In Southern California, the National Weather Service says 2 rare tornadoes touched down this week, injuring 2 people and damaging dozens of structures in Los Angeles County. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky returned to the front line near the devastated city of Bakhmut on Wednesday, promising to respond to every blow following a string of Russian attacks on civilian sites across Ukraine that killed at least 8 people and injured dozens Wednesday. In Moscow, Russian officials have warned the United Kingdom not to send ammunition to Ukraine containing depleted uranium. The metal is a byproduct of the enrichment process used to make nuclear warheads and fuel for power plants. It's both toxic and radioactive, and has been linked to congenital birth defects, cancer, and kidney damage. This is Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov speaking Wednesday.
While there is no convention to ban depleted uranium shells, the United Nations General Assembly regularly considers resolutions calling on nations not to produce or use depleted uranium. Every time, the United Kingdom, the United States, and France voted down.
Since the 1990s, the U.S. has fired munitions containing hundreds of tons of depleted uranium in Iraq, Serbia, Kosovo, and Syria, as well as a former U.S. naval training range in Vieques, Puerto Rico. On Capitol Hill, Code Pink activists with the group Code Pink repeatedly interrupted U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken Wednesday as he testified to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This is Code Pink co-founder Medea Benjamin.
The American people don't want to keep fueling a proxy war with Russia that could lead us to World War III or a nuclear holocaust. You're supposed to be a diplomat. Start negotiating. You know, if you don't like the Chinese proposal, where is your peace proposal?
Police moved in to arrest Code Pink members as they delivered their messages to Blinken and senators. In Russia, security forces have raided the homes of people affiliated with the banned Memorial Human Rights Center, confiscating items and equipment and bringing some of the group's members in for questioning. Memorial won the Right Livelihood Award in 2004 and the Nobel Peace Prize in 2022 for its work documenting human rights violations and crimes committed by the former Soviet Union. It was outlawed by the Russian government in late 2021 ahead of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Meanwhile, the International Criminal Court has expressed concern over comments by former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, who said on Monday, quote, "It's quite possible to imagine a hypersonic missile being fired from the North Sea from a Russian ship at the Hague courthouse." Medvedev added, "Any attempt by the ICC to arrest President Vladimir Putin on war crimes charges would amount to a declaration of war." Russia, the United States, and Ukraine have not ratified the Rome Statute treaty that established the International Criminal Court. In 2002, then-President George W. Bush signed a bipartisan bill known as the American Service Members Protection Act, authorizing U.S. military action to bring about the release of any U.S. personnel being detained at the request of the International Criminal Court. The United Nations is calling for an international specialized support force to deploy to Haiti to help stem a worsening gang crisis, which has already killed over 530 people this year. Gang violence steadily rose amidst mounting political and economic instability following the 2021 assassination of the president, Jovenel Moïse. Gangs now control over half of Haiti, while some 160,000 have been displaced, many now living in makshift homes.
The gangs invaded us. I lost my husband because of the gang war. I am alone with my children. I was living on the street, and after many searches, they found this place for us to stay in. Now I can't go back home. I lost everything.
Half of Haiti's population does not have enough food. The UN warns children are especially at risk of gang violence and face kidnappings, forced recruitment, and sexual violence. A 6.5 magnitude earthquake killed at least 19 people and injured hundreds more in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The earthquake struck Tuesday evening in the mountainous northeast of Afghanistan near its border with Pakistan, damaged buildings triggering landslides. Back in the United States, a judge in Wyoming has put a temporary hold on the state's recently enacted abortion ban pending a legal challenge, citing the constitutional right of Wyoming residents to make individual health care decisions. Meanwhile, in Idaho, one hospital announced it would stop delivering babies as too many doctors have left the state over its abortion ban, which criminalizes abortion providers. Expectant residents of Sand Point in northwest Idaho will now have to drive 46 miles for labor and delivery care. The U.S. Central Bank has raised interest rates by another quarter of a percent. It's the eighth time in a row the Federal Reserve has raised the cost of borrowing, even though the Fed's own forecasts show the hikes could cost 2 million people their jobs. Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren blasted Fed Chair Jerome Powell's decision, tweeting, quote, "I've warned for months that the Fed's current path risks throwing millions of Americans out of work. We have many tools to fight inflation without pushing the economy off a cliff," Senator Warren said. The International Monetary Fund approved a $3 billion loan for Sri Lanka this week amidst its worst economic crisis since gaining independence. Inflation has soared to above 50% as people struggle to pay for food. It's the 17th IMF bailout Sri Lanka's received and the third since the end of its civil war in 2009. In Lebanon, protesters rallied in Beirut Wednesday to decry worsening economic conditions. Many of the protesters were former security force members whose state pensions have been rapidly losing value amidst a dire economic crisis. The Lebanese pound lost more than 98% of its value against the U.S. dollar since 2019. And in Argentina, inflation has topped 100% for the first time since its financial crisis of the early 90s. Argentina's struggled to turn around its economy amidst government infighting and ministerial turnover. Last year, massive protests called out austerity measures resulting from IMF bailouts and the government's mismanagement of its debt. Fed up Argentines say they want change in their leadership.
Totalmente, sí. Que se vayan todos.
Let all the politicians go. I'm tired of all this, of the politicians who fight while the people die of hunger.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. Coming up, we speak to civil rights attorney Ben Crump, representing the family of Ivo Otieno. Seven sheriff's deputies and three hospital workers in Virginia have been indicted on murder charges, for killing him by piling on top of him, suffocating him at a mental health hospital in Virginia. Our music break is a song Ivo recorded called Can't Wait.
Molly Gray. Yeah. By the time it's said and done, I'ma have a lot to be said. Yeah. When I was on the court, you know I just had to leave it on the court. Cause I didn't know when I was down, no would be ahead. Looking at the future, yeah. Sometimes it be looking dark and looking glum. I don't know if I'ma make it, I don't know. But that surgery, I'm praying to God, and you know I'm living anxious. I don't know what happened, I don't know what happened to love. What happened to friendship? We lost some exposure. And people change, I didn't know what happened. I thought you was real, I thought you was a soldier. I thought you had to do this by myself, bummer. I had to go out by myself, bummer. They didn't believe that I would make it too, no. Looking at me when I was 22. Looking back at my life, I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for the ones that were closest to me. So I keep it real with the ones around me, and I just the real ones, yeah. Me. And everything gotta be for a reason. I ain't worried about other shit.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Nermeen Sheikh. Hi, Nermeen.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
A warning to our audience, the story contains images and descriptions of police violence. We begin today's show looking at the death of Ivo Otieno, a 28-year-old black man, an aspiring musician, who was killed March 6th inside a hospital in Virginia, where he'd been taken to receive mental health treatment. Shocking video released this week shows seven sheriff's deputies and three hospital workers violently pinned Ivo Otieno to the hospital floor and piled on him for more than 11 minutes, suffocating him. Earlier this week, a Virginia grand jury indicted the 10 men involved on second-degree murder charges. Otieno's death occurred at Central State Hospital, a psychiatric facility in Dinwiddie County, Virginia. New video released Wednesday reveals at least one officer had also repeatedly punched Ivo earlier that day when a group of them rushed into his cell, his jail cell. When the officers carried Otieno out of the cell, he was no longer moving. They put his limp body in a van to transport him to the hospital, where he died after being pinned to the ground by the seven sheriff's deputies and three hospital workers. Ivo Otieno was an aspiring musician who suffered from mental health challenges. He'd been taken from his home and locked up 3 days before he was killed after a neighbor called police to report he'd walked onto their property and had taken some lights and was banging on the front door. This is Ivo Otieno's mother, Caroline Oko, who moved to Virginia with her family from Kenya in the 90s.
even though Ivor was going through mental illness, what I saw today was heartbreaking, America. It was disturbing. It was traumatic. My son was tortured, to put it right. I saw the torture. There is no way that Henrico County Sheriff deputies were on him. Seven officers on one man. And all this started when my son went to hospital on the 3rd. And that evening he was taken to jail, whisked from the back of the jail into the hospital. Those 3 days at Henrico County Jail were a horror. I've seen it on video. And I think there's some more. But I'm here to mourn. And I'm mourning the life of this young man, my son. Mental illness should not be your ticket to death.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
There was a chance to rescue him. There was a chance to stop what was going on. And I don't understand how all systems failed him.
All systems.
I don't understand why one single system could not hold up and say, stop, we stop here.
Yes.
My son was treated like a dog, worse than a dog. I saw it with my own eyes on the video.
That was Caroline Oko, the mother of Ivor Otieno, who was killed by 7 sheriff's deputies and 3 hospital workers inside a mental health facility in Virginia March 6. We go now to civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who's representing Ivo's family. Ben, welcome back to Democracy Now! This horrific story continues to unfold because more and more video has been released. Tell us what happened on March 6, especially with the latest video that's hours before what we had seen and what the family is calling for right now. How did this happen to Ivo?
Thank you for having me, Amy. And there's more video to be released that is equally disturbing that has not been released to the public that the family and our legal team have been able to review. On March 6, Ivo Otieno was having a mental health crisis, Amy. And regrettably, like so many other Black people in America who have mental health issues, they aren't treated like medical issues. They're treated like criminal issues. And many times when they are confronted by the police, these mental health issues leads to them being sentenced to death. Like we saw in this disturbing video of Ivo. I mean, he was in a mental hospital, for God's sakes. Isn't it foreseeable that people who have mental health issues or are in crisis and they're in the hospital, that they're going to have situations where they have crisis, and so they should be able to deal with them without the person being killed? And when you look at the video, he was handcuffed at his wrist. He had leg irons on his ankles. And so he posed no threat to anyone, not himself, not to the officers or hospital staff. You look at the video, his body seemed lifeless when they dragged him to the car, and certainly when they dragged him into the room where we witnessed him being face down, and 7 sheriff's deputies from Henrico County and 3 security guards from the medical facility all piled on top of him, all put the brunt of their weight on him, put their knees on his back, on his neck, not for a few minutes, but for almost 12 minutes. And as the prosecutor said, Amy, when she charged him with second-degree murder, they literally smothered him to death. And that is tragic when you think about he committed no crime. He was there because he
let me just play, Ben. Let me play the Dinwiddie County Commonwealth's attorney, Ann Cabell Baskerville, speaking during one of the first hearings last week for the seven deputies charged in the death of Ivo Otieno.
He was held down on the ground, prone on the ground, for 12 minutes by all seven of our defendants charged here, including this one. So much so that they smothered him, and they smothered him to death. It is the defendant's position that the victim in this case was agitated and combative, two words that they have all used. There is video footage of exactly what happened, and he was not agitated and combative.
I mean, this is key, Ben. The Dinwiddie County Commonwealth's attorney said he was not combative.
Yeah, and on the video, Amy, the one good thing about video, and thank God for the advent of technology, because for decades, black people would say that the police are brutalizing us, that they're engaged in excessive force, and people would always believe the police word. They would always take the police narrative. But now with video, you can see for yourself what happened. And there is no video that we have seen that shows Ivo being combative or posing a threat to anybody. They're saying, take our word for it. And we're even irrespective, Amy. If he did something at some point during his crisis, we clearly see on the video that has been released to the public that never was Ivo posing a threat. I mean, when you think about it, I got so many calls from all across America, across the world, saying, why? This is so unnecessary. He's handcuffed and shackled. If they just leave him in the room and wait for him to get proper medical attention, then who's at harm? Why do you have to put him face down? Why do you have to put knees in his back? Why do you have to smother him to death? It's just so unnecessary, as many of these deaths. And 3 years after George Floyd, why would police or law enforcement officials be putting their knees anywhere on a restrained person who is face down?
Absolutely, Ben Crump. And if you could explain, I mean, what's especially shocking and horrifying about this incident is, of course, that it takes place in a hospital, and that, too, in a mental hospital, where presumably the medical staff is accustomed to dealing with people. Even in this case, he's not even combative. But even if he were, what would justify in a facility like this, the police, together with medical staff, actively, in fact, murdering one of their patients?
There is nothing that would justify it. In fact, what is equally troubling is that you have so many people standing around and nobody intervenes. We remember on Tyre Nichols' tragic killing in Memphis, Tennessee, that was one of the preeminent issues, that none of those police officers intervened while they were watching a young man be beat to death, be tortured. And so you see those similar issues here in Richmond, Virginia, where nobody intervened, not the medical staff, not any of the security, anybody there. They simply watched. And can you imagine setting your stopwatch for 12 minutes and just think about how much time goes into 12 minutes, how many seconds, and the fact that Ivo can't breathe. They saying that where he was still moving when they had him on the ground. Our experts opine, absolutely, you would be moving too if you're face down, restrained, and you got 10 people on top of you for 12 minutes. If you're struggling, you're trying to move so you can get air. And that's what was denied to Ivo, his opportunity to breathe. And that's what is very disturbing, that the medical personnel who are trained on how to preserve life could not recognize that Ivo needed somebody to intervene to give him the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of their professionalism, and mostly the benefit of humanity.
Ben, could you talk about this specific hospital where he was held and where this incident occurred? It has, go ahead.
Yeah, it has, as my co-counsel Mark Crudas and I have been researching with our legal team, this certainly isn't the first incident where patients who have been, I guess, dealing with mental health crises have been abused in the sense that other black people have alleged that police used excessive force against them. And, you know, they come up with all kind of things to try to justify the cause of death. But I believe, as other families have alleged, their family members were killed because of an overdose of excessive force. And so we have to use this as an opportunity to deal with the issues of mental health in America. We need legislation. We need policies to try to prevent any more Ivos. You know, President Biden a couple of days ago had the television cast of Ted Lasso, the award-winning show, at the White House to talk about the importance of mental health. Well, it is my fervent hope that they would have engaged with black people who have mental health issues to say that we need to treat those important as well and not as criminal issues, because we saw it in Pam Turner in Houston, Texas, a black woman having a mental health crisis, and the police end up shooting her in the face, in the chest, and in the stomach while she's laying on the ground on her back. And that video is horrific. And then we see Gershon Freeman in Memphis, Tennessee, Shelby County Jail, who is beat to death while he's naked in the jail having a mental health crisis. And so what happened to Ivo isn't an isolated incident in America. When you're black in America and you have a mental health crisis, too often the determining factor of whether you live or die becomes the color of your skin and the status of your mental health. And that should not be the case.
Ben, I want to go back to Ivo's mother, Caroline Oko.
This young man you see here had a big heart. Ivo was the guy that his classmates drew to. When they needed someone to talk to, he was the listener. He would take time to listen to them. And then he would take time to process and then lean back in. My son was a leader. He was not a follower. He also brought a different perspective to the table. If there was a discussion, he was not afraid to go the other way when everybody else is following. This was my baby. He cared for people. He cared that people were treated right.
It is so horrifying to meet all too often young black men after their death with their mothers or sisters or partners describing who they were. Ben Crump, as we wrap up, the pile-on was more than 11 minutes. In the case of Derek Chauvin murdering George Floyd, it was 9.5 minutes. At this point, what are you demanding? And also, can you talk about the fact that the defense attorneys have called for holding Ivo's body? It could be weeks, something that the judge ruled against yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it is god-awful that this family is having to grieve the death of an unnecessary and justifiable and unconstitutional killing of their loved one. But it is insult on top of injury to say that they are going to be prevented for possibly weeks at having the funeral services for Ivo because these defense attorneys are arguing that they have a right to do an autopsy or some independent autopsy from their choosing. Well, you know, it's disturbing. They have video. I mean, there's no question